I'm going to queue up this young lady, and she is my next guest at Coral FM. Her name is Lily Frost, and people might know her from the CBC TV show Being Erica, but Lily's playing tomorrow night in Toronto at the Painted Lady. This is Lily Frost from her latest CD, Do What You Love, on Coral FM and Background Radio.
Together we make a dream. Background noise and radio. Tomorrow made me decide. All the birds are chirping. I know my heart is working. I know my heart is working. Where do we wanna be? The highway or the factory? The river made me decide. All the world is falling. So dance with me, my darling. Dance with me, my darling. Spin me round, darling. Don't wanna touch the ground. Can anybody hear me? The traffic and the noise. Can anybody tell me where the sweet wind's gone? All the other dreamers, all the possible hearts are looking for the answers, waiting to start. And all the dogs are barking, the neighborhood is parking. I know the kettle's singing, the telephone is ringing. So give me just a minute. Don't want to touch the ground. Spin me round. That day I heard your voice through the background noise. The radio is when I made my choice. All the birds are chirping. Falling. So dance with me, my darling. Dance with me, my darling. Spin me round, darling. Don't wanna touch the ground. I'm looking for. Together we make a dream. The background noise, the radio. Tomorrow made me decide. Okay,
that was Lily Frost from her latest CD, Do What You Love, and Background Radio. And I'm going to be airing a chat in a few minutes that I had with Lily Frost, who, as I mentioned, is playing at the Painted Lady tomorrow night in Toronto. And then she's heading off to Montreal and New York and Greenwich Village. I had a chance. This is very cool. I had a chance to talk to Lily Frost. And I got into Lily Frost because I started watching Being Erica, and she does the theme song. And I'm sorry, but I'm being a girly here. I don't care. I want to play some more. I want to play another track off Lily's latest album, Do What You Love. It's dedicated to her daughter, Paloma. And it's a very happy, colorful album. It's very, very cool. So here's some Lily Frost and with my little phone chat that, and it's a chat. It's not really, it's more of a, yeah, it's more, it's not really structured. It's more like a chat that I did with Lily Frost on Coral FM.
I know what you're thinking. I can see it in your eyes. You don't need to speak words. I can feel it in your vibes. It's not that I'm psychic or anything cool like that. But how you move and where you look, I can read you like a book. And you can pretend that every little thing is totally A-OK. But you're make your problems go away. But it's like having a black cloud hovering around the room. You won't be done till everyone is miserable just like you. And you can pretend that every little thing is totally A-OK. But your silent scream is louder than a grenade. I don't know who used to cater to your passive aggressive mood swings. I don't really care today, and I don't have any time to waste in this ring. This is your thing. I'm walking out the door now, not even a final look. And you can try your silent skills on someone willing to be took. And you can pretend that every little thing is totally A-OK. Yeah, you can pretend that every little thing is totally A-OK. But your silent scream is louder than a
Okay, I am back here. I am back on the air. And that was Lily Frost Grenade. I want to do a little bit of background on Lily Frost. She wrote the theme song for All I Ever Wanted to Be from the CBC show Being Erica. And her song Enchantment was on the third episode of Grey's Anatomy. And the song was also featured in a 2007 commercial for The Bay. She's also been on Stargate SG-1 with her song Who Am I? And Fragile Balance was in season 4 of Charmed. So she's had all kinds of, you know, songs all over the place. And also, she was also, one of her songs, Where Is Love, which is a great song, was featured on the original soundtrack of Crazy Beautiful, which was a film starring Kirsten Dunst. So she's done a lot of movie stuff and, you know, that kind of stuff. And she's very, very cool. And when I talked to her on Sunday morning, she was, you know, it was a typical Sunday morning at her place. And she's got two young children, Misha, her son, and Paloma, her daughter. So this is kind of a, like I said, it's more of a chat. So here's my little interview. It's kind of, you know, it's unstructured. Here's my little interview with Lily Frost and Coral FM.
I know you wrote this album up in Georgian Bay.
Well, I mean, the only reason I did it up there is because it's sort of like a little place where in the summertime I bring like a babysitter up and then mm-hmm. I go off to my little cabin and I can focus.
It's
so
nice.
It wasn't, yeah, like it wasn't necessarily inspired by Georgian Bay, this one.
No.
The previous record was
mm-hmm.
Viridian Torch. Like I was, you know, channeling that, the feelings, you know, from nature and the wind and those storms and everything. But this one was more just like, it was practical to do it there. So that's where it came out, and that's where I had time to focus and stuff like that.
I have a question. When you wrote the, was it winter when you wrote the last album?
No.
Or was it summer?
It was summer, yeah.
Okay.
It's always summer. We're not exactly winterized up there.
Oh, okay. I used to go up there all the time.
Did you?
And it's very, the atmosphere is, in the winter it's different than it is in the summer.
For sure. So we did a few treks when we were young, like with my dad, and we were in the caboose of a skidoo, and it was so scary and amazing and dangerous.
Yeah, it is very cool up there.
Yeah. It all just looks like one thing because it's covered in snow and you don't know when you're on ice or, you know, you can't tell where you are.
It's very true.
It's amazing, yeah.
It is. It's very cool up there. Yeah. Literally very cool up there. So I was just curious. I thought, well, if she was up there in the winter, that's a whole different...
That would be cool.
It's a whole different... I went up there for Christmas once. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Than it is in the summer. It's just that there's
totally
a
different,
it has a different character altogether. So I was just curious because I used to go up to Snug Harbor all the time.
Oh yeah.
By Perry Sound.
Yeah. Nice.
But anyways, background radio is awesome.
Cool.
And why do you like? What speaks to you about the work of Andrew Hughes?
Have you heard of him?
Yes.
Oh, do you know him?
Yeah. No,
you
I don't.
Do?
I know of his work. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's weird because he, like, we have a friend, Jose, my husband, has a really old friend, Mark Goldstein,
mm-hmm.
who was in By Divine Right. He was the drummer for years and years. So we went to his poetry reading because he's become a poet.
Yeah.
And Andrew couldn't make that night. He had, I think, been in a crash of some sort or, like, a bike accident, something like that, but he wasn't there. But I saw his book for sale on the table, and as soon as I opened it, I knew that I was going to love his writing.
Uh-huh.
And so I bought the book, and then I was, like, trying to find lyrics for the song, and I grabbed that book, and I thought maybe that'll inspire something, and it totally did. So, and I've tried to find him and reach out to him, but the only Andrew who he was on Facebook was some guy who's like, I'm definitely not a poet. Don't even read the stuff or something. Like, oops. Okay.
He seems, I don't know, Lewis Carroll-like. I don't even know how to describe him. He's, it's so cool.
Yeah, he reminds me of E.E. Cummings or even, you know,
Ogden Nash? Maybe?
What's that?
Ogden Nash, maybe a little bit.
Or Allen Ginsberg, even. Like, not quite that far, maybe. Yeah. Not that crass, but, like...
Stream of consciousness.
Exactly.
It's like, where the heck does he get these ideas from? Like,
yeah, I know. I wanted to connect with him somehow. Because I want to get him a CD and show him the tune and all that. So if you have his contact or anything, I would love to get it to him.
Maybe Gary would know.
Yeah, true enough.
Ask Gary, he might.
Find, yeah.
I just thought, I can see why you would like this. I mean, you know.
Yeah, very cool. And the music was mostly written by Ryan and me and John, the producers I worked with, and then they sent over the track to Jose and I, and then we wrote the lyrics and the melody. So it was a total collaboration, that one.
Yeah, which is great. All the World is Falling, Dance with My Darling. I thought, oh, I love the old transistor radio on the album, on the CD jacket.
Yeah, he worked so hard on matching up the images to the words, and he was my first choice. I've never really researched artwork before like that, like an artist to do the artwork in that way, but he was one of my first picks, and he was so thorough and kind about the process, like keeping me updated. He's like, I'm researching images at the library in San Francisco right now, and he'd send me pictures that he'd found, and, you know, it's not like he's an amateur who's got a whole bunch of time to spare, but he's just very communicative, and, it was really nice to work with him.
It's a lovely old radio. I think it's from the 50s. I used to carry around a transistor, a little Sony transistor with me. Yeah, I'm a total analog. I'm an analog girl.
Did you carry a radio in public and everything?
Yeah, I did. I used to go to, like, I went to school in England.
Oh, yeah. No.
And I had an old Sony transistor, and I brought it over here, and the kids used to laugh at me and throw my radio out the window because I was so into music.
Aw, that's cool. How do you know Gary?
How do I know Gary?
Just from the biz.
I met Gary when we were doing a Coronation Street thingy called Tales from the Street.
Okay.
And through Nash and through another friend, Peter Jacobs.
Yeah.
So that's how I met Gary. He's crazy.
He's great, hey? I know.
Yeah. He's a, you know, he's an icon for sure. I mean, you know, and I thought, well, if anybody could, Yeah, he's awesome.
He is really fantastic.
He is. And I could see some of the places you're touring, too, which is kind of interesting, which I'm going to get to.
Okay.
I also wanted to talk about...
Wait, Paloma, careful. My baby's, like, falling off the couch. Sorry.
She's... and this is so cool that you have dedicated this album to her. Sometimes you have a... Do you remember a singer named Claudine Lager?
Yes, I know of her. Yeah, we have her record.
Yeah, I...
I'm glad you made that reference. That's cool.
You know, when you sing in French and when you sing in Spanish, it has a different connotation, but it's still just beautifully and divine. But yeah, I thought, she reminds me of Claudine Lager, and I don't know, if too many people know about her, but you have that sort of essence and attitude to your work sometimes.
Yeah, I love French music, and I love the 60s, and we were given that record by Philippe from Soundscape. Do you know him?
No.
Flipped out. Okay, he's an old DJ from Montreal, like radio DJ, and he looks like Serge Gainsbourg, and he gave us, Jose and I, that record for our wedding, I think.
Ooh, so, well, she used to sing with Andy Williams, who just passed away. Yeah, she was on his Andy, I'm older than you, I think. She was on the Andy Williams show, and I used to watch her on there, and I thought, oh my God, she sang a song, Blue, Blue, My Love is Blue, I think.
Oh, nice. I don't know that one.
It's, I'm pretty sure it's that. If it's not, I'll send you the, I can... I'll send you the lyrics. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure she's saying that. I'm on fire. Mm-hmm. Does this speak from, and I can relate to you, it's like, oh my God, you're like a little inner voice talking to me. I guess this record is called From Experiences. So, especially Do What You Love.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get to this point to do what you love? Because there's so many people that are not doing that.
No, for sure. And it's, I have some people around me, close people, who still hold the belief that you have to suffer through work you hate every day in order to get to the point where you can afford to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And it just, anyway, so when I was about 18 or 19, I started reading Joseph Campbell and listening to Noam Chomsky and kind of like exploring the idea of, you know, Simone de Beauvoir, follow your bliss, follow your dream, and then everything will fall into place. And I feel like I jumped into that with the support of the people around me at the time, who were a bunch of French poets and musicians in Montreal, and some South Americans and stuff like that. And we all kind of were super, super poor, but, you know, stuck together and kept writing and everything. Mm-hmm. And then as time went on, my co-writers always had that same belief.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have been living that way since I was 19, you know, through ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
Been signed to major, like, well, Network, if you would consider that major. But then
I remember Network when it first started. Mark, I think, started Marcelle, from Moav, a band called Moav, I think.
Moav,
a long time ago.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, but, you know, been on welfare and soup kitchens and all that stuff, too. So, and I've had dumb jobs that, you know, they always fire me for writing lyrics.
They do. It's true. I did the same. I had a full-time job in an office, and my husband said, quit and become a writer. That's what you really want to do. And then he left me. So it's like jumping off a cliff.
Exactly.
I thought.
It's that feeling, for sure.
This is wicked. But you know what? You're right. It does work.
And life catches you. And you know, you just have to have faith. And some people can't handle that. And I remember when I first left the band setting and went solo, it felt that way again. Mm-hmm. And I had to actually go to counseling to deal with the fear. And she was kind of laughing at me, the counselor, I remember. She was like, it's going to be okay. You know, you're so entertaining. I'm like, stop laughing at me, you know, like, I'm really terrified. It feels like a black hole, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did it, and it's taken me all over the place. So, you know, I feel like I could take more risks. Like, when I have children, it's a bit harder to kind of follow
the flow. I can hear Paloma in the background.
Yeah.
Well, you're very brave and very vulnerable because you put yourself out there. You know, at kind of like John Lennon did, you know, like when people kind of go, I can kind of relate to this, but it takes a lot of guts to be able to write like that and to sort of just, okay, here I am, here's what I did.
Right.
And hopefully people will listen in, but a lot of people are listening in. Boy.
I feel like, you know, I've gotten to the point now, like, especially turning 40, where I don't care anymore about trying to please people so much. It's more about, like, Viridian Torch was a turning point for me in terms of not compromising at all. Like, I just went into that world and kind of alienated fans to a certain extent. But some people loved it and really got it, and the response was way more intense than any other record. So then that kind of showed me that if I sort of balance out the, like, a positive message with a sense of meaning in the lyrics, like, how can I try to make the world a better place instead of wallowing in misery and depression?
Anne Mortifee, I was talking to her once, she's a singer, and she said that depression, you should treat it like happiness. Just let it wash all over you and let it, like, absorb it in, and then just let go.
Let it go, exactly.
You know, but do absorb it. Don't ignore it. Just take it in.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty good advice.
Mm-hmm.
I like No Promises, too. This could be a girl or a guy singing.
Exactly. Like, and that was actually written by Jose and this woman, Alicia Behringer, I think.
Okay.
She's sort of really gorgeous East Indian woman. She's young, and everyone wants, like all the industry guys want to sign her up and everything. But she came over here to write with Jose, and then nothing happened with the song, and I was like, I'll have that. That's a great song.
Well, it is, and it's got great lyrics, too. It's like, okay, yeah. This could be a guy.
Yeah.
And this could be a girl, too, because there's lots of women that go out there today and do the same, they go out there and have sex like a man, right?
Exactly. So,
that's a great song.
I know, I like flipping it. Like, we were thinking, Jose and I were laughing about doing a cover of Neil Young's The Woman Needs a Maid. Man Needs a Maid, but switch it, so, you know, because it's true.
Yeah, you should, I think you should do that. That'd be great.
That'd be funny, right?
And then you have... this is kind of neat, too, because these songs, the next two songs are sort of, they add a different dimension. This is a very colorful and, you know, and hopeful
And then it goes to
piece of work. And then it shines. This is lovely, too. Very philosophical. And same with Stand.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell
Stand
me?
Stand is an old tune, actually. It's probably 10 years old. And
okay.
My brother was like, you should bring that back to life, and that was when I was ready to sort of sell my soul to the devil to be a superstar. And so I flipped it all now, because as I grow older, I'm like, I'm not willing to do that. And then it sort of has more power, right? Because you're not gonna fall over backwards and do whatever it takes to get ahead. So, and It Shines was just my son came up with the line, "It's dark blue out there," and I loved it. And so he was like four. He has all these cool lines, like "darker marker" and "fire trucks in bed" and things like that. And so I started writing, but I couldn't find the next part to the song until we had a tour in France, and the day before it fell through. And I had all like people from all over the country living at our house rehearsing, and my manager at the time just called me and said, "It's off."
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God. Like, we'd bought our babysitter's airfare, our children's plane tickets, everything, and it was just such a huge letdown.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like everything is beyond my reach, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't quite get it. I can't quite make it happen.
There's a definite sense of loss. It's a comforting song, though, too.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I mean, it just flowed out, and it did comfort me at the time, and other people seemed to respond to it.
Yeah, it's lovely, and it does. It adds another dimension to this piece of work. And I'm also a Pink Floyd fan.
Me too.
So, you know, and this is metal. This is from Metal, which is a great...
Do you remember that song?
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. The first time I heard your CD, I went, wait a minute. I know that song.
Yeah, cool. Right. And you're from England, too. So.
My parents are English. And okay. But you have this lovely sort of Burt Bacharach arrangement going on. Can you tell me, and I know there's an all-star cast on this album.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about some of the musicians that you are working with?
Sure. Well, Todor Kobakov, who did the strings on Stand, he was actually my housemate for a while, and he's a crazy Bulgarian pianist, but very, very dark, and I remember just lying in my bed, and he would be playing all day long, and he'd only break to smoke and shake his hands out, and then he'd get back on the piano, he kind of rose over the past 8 years from just being kind of obscure to working with, I don't know, Broken Social Scene and Metric and all those people.
Yeah.
Ryan and John are the guys who found Bryden Baird, who worked with Feist, and he's amazing.
Yeah.
He's incredible. Like, just one sec.
Can you give it to her just for now?
Like, he had worked everything out perfectly, and he just did all his parts in one take, which I've never seen in my life before. It was mind-blowing. Who else? Drew Jureka did some strings as well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he's worked with Jill Barber. And again, I didn't even meet him. The funny thing is with Bryden Baird, I had turned 40 and I heard him at the Reservoir Lounge with this amazing band, and I was the sort of like drunk woman tapping him on the shoulder going, it's my birthday. I'm 40 today. And then a week later, he's in my session. I'm like, you look really familiar. And he's like, I don't know. And I said, oh, you were that guy.
Hey, hey, I'm on the phone. Okay, go. I'll get her some in a bit.
Is that Misha? Is that your son?
That's Misha.
Misha's a great name too. That's awesome.
Thanks.
What's the most important lesson that you want Paloma and maybe Misha to learn?
Well, from this CD? My parents always used to tell me, just be yourself, which I always found really hard to do. So, because I didn't know myself. So I think what's most important is to listen to your inner voice and know who you are and let it resonate in your body. Like, I'm a yogi, so I've become, like, very connected to the sort of physiological connection to the emotional and
spiritual
and mental and all of it and how it interrelates. And I feel like for years I lived knowing that I should go left, say even dumb stuff like at the supermarket. Like, I know peaches are over there, but I'm going to go right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to waste my time for a while knowing that I should go left, but I'm going to go right.
Well, you might discover something on the way over to the peaches that you didn't know was there.
But I was always off my path, right?
Yeah.
So finally, like, I'm not always on it, but I definitely feel more aligned with my super conscious, and subconscious. Like, it's all coming.
It's all balancing?
Together. Like, it's all kind of, aligning. It's like my subconscious says, don't do that, so I don't. And why? Because I've gone down the path where I did do it anyway, and I know where it's led me. Like, I've had a lot of bad experiences that, everything from relationships to work, to even doing music, but the wrong kind of music.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I think, this is very cool, and it's such a bright and colorful, you know what, to me it's like one song. I put it on, I listen to it, it's on and on and on, and when I'm doing my work around the office, it's on, you know, and I'm like,
cool.
Makes me feel happy. You're heading down to, this is funny because I just came from here, Zerzaman in Greenwich Village. Have you been there before?
No.
Oh.
Have you?
I was just around that area, LaGuardia and Bleecker, around the bitter end.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Okay, great.
So I think the place you're going to is perfect. I just wondered.
Oh, cool.
Greenwich Village rocks. Have you been? You've probably been there.
I have a few times. I actually was playing the living room, but they closed their doors.
Yeah.
So Gary got me this gig. Through Lorraine Leckie, I think is
her. Yeah.
And
yep.
So I can't wait. And we're hoping to go back every month.
Oh, great.
And the record will be coming out in the springtime down there. So just want to kind of build a little groundswell if possible.
I might be down there. I might be going back down in June. I'll watch for you. That'd be
cool.
Awesome. I'd love to see you down there.
That'd be great.
And then you're going to Quebec as well. Because you have another audience, like you have a French audience as well. So
a little bit scattered all over, but we do have a French CD that came out with the main CD.
Yeah.
So that one is doing quite well in Quebec, and over the years, I mean, I used to live in Montreal for university, and I really, really love French culture, I love France, and I love Quebec, and I love Montreal, and I think there's a joie de vivre that's really lacking in most, you know, Anglophones. Look at this, it's all about work and money and getting ahead, and
it's very structured, and over there it's not as
structured. And time-based, and over there it's definitely more open and artsy, and an appreciation for beauty and respect for artists, And I love the language. Like, I did take French immersion, then I did a French exchange. So it's a good, I love using that, you know, language. And and I love, like, French music, like Serge Gainsbourg and François Hardy.
Do you know Michelle, Mireille Mathieu?
No.
Okay, my dad used to listen to her. Like, we listened to Edith Piaf.
Yeah.
But there's a singer named Mireille Mathieu. Ask Gary.
I think I know. Oh, did you say Mireille?
Mireille. I'm pretty sure.
Like Mathieu, M-A-T-H-I-E.
Yeah,
that does ring a bell.
She's very dramatic. Did she sing with Charles Aznavour? She might have at one point. Again, I used to watch her as a kid.
Okay, I'll check her out again. I think actually that does ring a bell.
Very dramatic. I just remember her being very dramatic, almost like one step beyond Edith Piaf.
Amazing.
And at that time, I didn't know who Edith Piaf was. I only knew Mireille Mathieu. So then you discover, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But and do the songs change for you when you interpret them in different languages?
A little bit, I think. There's something about French language that's more sensual.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the... Have you heard the French CD?
I've heard some of it.
Okay, because it's compiled from, as far back as 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's from different bands that I've played with. And I was in a different headspace and that kind of thing. Like, there was a point where some people were saying, you should really don't put too much into it, just kind of sing breathy and, like, coaching me this way, because I used to just belt it out all the time. So, but at the same time, there is something to that kind of laid-back, cool approach that can take people somewhere, because you're just kind of melting into the music as opposed to trying to be some sort of forefront.
You're like another instrument, almost.
Yeah. So, and it's more like a whisper in the ear than a
verbal assault.
Celine Dion approach.
I don't know. She's like, what is she? Muzak.
She's got those pipes.
Muzak. There's one more thing I want to ask you about. That's Enchantment. Being a Shakespeare fanatic, that was an awesome video.
Looked like
you were a young Tatiana and with Bottom, and then almost like out of Alice in Wonderland. Was that fun to do that?
It was. Yeah, really fun. It was a long, long shoot. And Yael Stav was the director, and it was amazing what she did with this forest at night, with the swings and the trees and creating like the tea party.
It was gorgeous.
In the dark. And it was more 1800s than I had intended.
Uh-huh.
My original idea was more, what's that? Children's fairy tale with Max, where the wild things are.
Oh, right.
I kind of had envisioned a room, and then the walls fall away, and it becomes this forest setting. So it didn't quite happen that way, but that was her interpretation. Like, there was the bed in the woods, and it was a hard, like, we got very, we went until the sun rose from like 5 the night before, so I don't know. It's funny. My friend Lindsay was in it as well. Okay. My mom was looking at the video. She's like, looking at these pictures of my face. And then all of a sudden Lindsay's face comes up and she goes, oh, you look really good there.
Oh, great.
Not me.
No, it was awesome. I noticed that. And I know that song's been used a lot in Grey's Anatomy, and that's kind of neat. And then the only reason I started watching Being Erica, because I was a fan of Michael Riley's, because I interviewed him when he was on This Is Wonderland.
Oh yeah.
So I saw the very first episode, and your song is like a character.
Oh yeah, they use it all the time. Hey.
God. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I rented it when I was nursing. because you're kind of stuck in bed, and I watched the entire series, and I got kind of addicted.
Oh, yeah.
And I noticed it's like, ba-da-ba-ba-da.
Yeah, I know. So cool, I thought. Yeah, and now it's on CBC at night again on Monday nights.
Oh, is it?
So I'm watching it again.
Oh, hilarious. I'm pretty into Mad Men.
Of course you are, because let me think here. Don Draper's, Don Draper's wife.
Yeah, Betty.
No, not Betty.
Oh, the new one.
Yes.
What's her name again? Monique or something? Yeah,
I can't remember. Well, she's like you. That's very you. 1960s. Yeah.
I love that show.
Yeah, me too. Because of the detail.
Oh, yeah.
The attention to detail.
Yeah.
My mom said, you know, I used to wear dresses like that. And
exactly.
That's our life. That's the way we used to live.
Yeah.
In the 1960s. And the attention to detail is just immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I love Mad Men. I also work part-time in a video store.
Oh, yeah.
So I like Mad Men, Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy. Oh, there's all kinds of them.
Oh, yeah.
But Mad Men is kind of like, if you think about it, Mad Men's kind of like The Sopranos. It's another forbidden world.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Except they
And it is like a guilty pleasure, you know, watching this.
I don't know. I understand how they drank so many martinis over lunch and got business done.
Ridiculous.
But,
they're always hungover and they die young, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Die young and beautiful.
Although it does look kind of fun.
Yes, and you know, I was watching a thing on the news yesterday about women are smoking just as much as men.
Yeah.
Mad Men doesn't help that scenario.
No, exactly.
Anyway, I'm going to let you go, Lily, because I know that you've got the kids there. And
okay.
Thank you so much for
my pleasure. Nice talking to you.
Doing this second interview, and I hope to see you sometime soon. Maybe I'll come down to Toronto if I can.
Cool, that'd be great.
If not, maybe down in the village.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even better.
Okay.
Okay, thanks so much.
Okay, take care.
I'm lying awake in my bed and I wish you were here. I'm tired and lonely and horny without you, my dear. I'm writing a manifesto, sending a telegram. I'll be a lady if you be a gentleman. I'm floating away from my pillow and into the woods. I'm finding my way to your heart by the light of the moon. The forest can tell I'm under your spell. You've taken me out of my shell. I'll be the penny if you be the wishing well. I'm floating away from my pillow and into the woods. You said you wouldn't go because you told me so, but I knew that you would. Enchantment, enchantment, gonna get me high. Guided by the stars above, a whisper in my ear. I feel the kind of lonely, only you can understand. I'll be a lady if you be a gentleman. Diary, diary knows me well. I could write all day and I never would be done. The sun is in my heart and the moon is in the sky. I'll be the riddle if you be a lullaby. There's a little cafe at the end of the world. Everybody knows that's where everybody goes. So I knew that you would. Enchantment, enchantment, gonna get me high.
Okay, that was Lily Frost and Enchantment. And this is kind of a nice segue into the next part of the show. But as I mentioned, Lily Frost is playing tomorrow at the Painted Lady in Toronto, and then she's heading off to Montreal and then New York. So if you want to know more about Lily, go to lilyfrost.com. And she's very, very cool. This is a... On her latest CD, she decided to do a Pink Floyd cover, and this is from Metal. So this is a Saint-Tropez on Coral FM, and I'm coming right up with the Crazy Diamonds, speaking of Pink Floyd. That's not it. Hold on a minute. Is it? Oh, yeah, it is. Yes, it is. is it?
A sofa in Saint-Tropez, breaking a stick with a prick on the sand, riding a wave in the wake of an old sedan. Sleeping alone in the drone of the darkness, scratched by the sand that fell from our love. Deep in my dreams, and I still hear him calling. If you're alone, they say, digging for gold in a hole in my hand. Open the book, take a look at the way things are leading me down to a place by the sea. I hear your soft voice calling to me, making a day for laying my phone. If you're alone, I'll come home.
That was Lily Frost and Saint-Tropez. And now for something completely different.